Live from the KTSW studios in San Marcos, Texas, this is Bobcat Radio. Good morning and a happy Monday to Bobcat fans, and welcome to this Monday edition of Bobcat Radio. It is April 22nd of 2024. I'm your host, Kobe Jackson, alongside my wonderful producer, Justin Brown, and my co-host, Osmar Vias. Got a good lineup for you guys today. We're going to be recapping Texas State women's golf as they succeeded a career of for sure milestone. Also, Texas State track and field in action this weekend. Also, Texas State baseball and softball in their Sun Belt Conference play. And if we have a little bit of time, a little bit of NBA playoff action. But before we get into our topics, let's go to Osmar for a quick word from our sponsor.
Twin Peaks Restaurant and Sports Bar is a sponsor of this broadcast of Bobcat Radio. Located on the northbound frontage road of I-35 at Guadalupe Street in San Marcos, Twin Peaks has bites, wings, burgers, sandwiches, and more. Info and menu at twinpeaksrestaurant.com. Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, scenic views.
Thank you, Osmar. Now, real quick, before we even get started, I just want to say, first off, you know, this is quote-unquote the last week of classes, so finals are coming up. So gotta ask y'all, how you guys feeling? How's y'all stress level? Is it kind of calming? Is it kind of overwhelmed? How y'all feeling right now?
You know, if it was a scale of 1 to 10, I'd say I'd give it a 4. You know, I feel pretty good. I don't feel that stressed. You know, I only got just one history final, really. Just making a demo reel for one of my other classes. Should be an easy final this semester. Only got one more semester left, so.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah.
That's fun.
I'm honestly really not that stressed yet, but I do need to catch up on some, like, little notes and everything like that, but I should be fine. I'm a good, again, like around 4 or 5, so I should be fine.
All right. I say I'm about a 3. So
a 3, yeah.
So still low, but enough with the stress level. It's time for Texas State Athletics, and we're going to start off with history as the Texas State women's golf team is officially Sun Belt Conference champions. That's right. You heard it here first. First Sun Belt Conference championship since 2016. They played in Point Clear, Alabama at Lakewood Golf Club. I mean, what more can I say? Texas State finished 3 under on the round. They were first in the second round, and they were first in the final round. And overall, they finished 3 under. And just kind of looking at the stat sheet, just team-wise, the only team that came closest to Texas State was Georgia Southern, who finished 13 over. That's right. The Bobcats were the only team that finished under par with 3 under. So, I mean, that's just straight up dominance right there. But at the same time, it almost just seems like all the teams were kind of just missing their shot. So, you know, want to throw it to y'all a little bit. Obviously, we've had a Texas State women's golfer on our team. We've had Maureen Griffont, who surprisingly enough was not in the tournament, but Haley Jones is the one who led the team for the victory. So I want to kind of throw it to y'all. What did y'all see from this golf team, and what did you see from Haley Jones?
Well, yeah, Haley Jones, she leads the entire tournament, and she does it in great fashion. She ended up finishing first place, and she finished 5 under par. That's why we had that negative total when looking at the Bobcats, how they finished 3 under par. It's because of Haley Jones' performance. She does great things. Finished in 67 strokes when the par was 72. So she does great things. God. And then you look at another Texas State player, Junia Gabasa. She did great as well. She finished 2 above par. That's not bad at all. And then you look at as well, Fia Lindbom. She finishes great as well, 4 over par. So this team did great things. Multiple players finishing in the top 10. The only other player that got close to Haley Jones was Daniela Campillo for ULM, who finished 2 under par. But yes, this team, I mean, did great things. You noted, Kobe, that the next person to the Bobcats was Georgia Southern, I believe, with 13 over par. Yeah. So that just shows how good the Bobcats are. And one thing that I was shocked to see is that South Alabama finishes the tournament, and as a team, they finished 164 over par, which I thought was a typo. I just had to point that out. You know, we have to talk about all Sun Belt teams, and that's one that I was kind of shocked to see. And then in the second to last place, I think, was App State with the finish of 81 over par. So just, South Alabama may have found some struggles, but wow. I mean, Osmar, this Bobcat team, I mean, they've done great things. And since 2016, that's been a while. That's over 8 years. So this team really, this is not any of the same people that won that in 2016. These are all new people. And Haley Jones, she's a graduate transfer. And I think from your own hometown, isn't that right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I also want to tag on to most of the athletes are underclassmen, so they're only going to grow up from here. And with prior experience on how to win a conference title, yeah, there's a chance it might happen again. We'll see.
Yeah, we shall see. As the Bobcats next up, we'll be heading to, I believe it's going to be, actually, they have not announced it yet. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be heading to the NCAA Regionals Tournament, which will start on May 6th through May 8th. Still don't know where they're going to be playing at. We'll keep you guys updated throughout the, hopefully throughout the next couple of weeks. But we're going to now transition into some Texas State track and field as they were up in College Station in Aggieland for the alumni muster invitational. And I mean, I know we've been talking about this track team a lot, specifically Laura Roberts. I mean, she has been absolutely phenomenal. She's classified as the number one freshman in the country. Mm-hmm. She set a meet record with the hammer throw, throwing a 6.06, which is first of all, it's very impressive. Mm-hmm. Number one, for those who follow hammer throwing, those who follow track and field, that is actually an impressive milestone. But just looking overall at the tournament, to my knowledge, the Bobcats had a lot of top 10 finishes, which honestly, you can't really be disappointed with. I mean, kind of looking around, Alexia Mises, I want to make sure I got that right, finished first in the women's 1500 meter race. And also Dominic Yancey, what else is new? I mean, he's been absolutely dominant this year, finished in the men's 400 meter. So, I mean, this track team, I know we've been talking about, obviously, the main people like Dominic Yancey and obviously the Laura Roberts as well. But, you know, want to throw it to y'all. Another good weekend for the track team. Obviously, going up to College Station up in Texas A&M country, I know that's tough considering the fact of how dominant Texas A&M could be in track as well. So I want to throw it to y'all. What did y'all see from the track team this weekend?
Well, for sure, I was looking at Laura's stats. She's only a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, and she just got first, and she's number one in the country. And I was just looking through each of these athletes, and they're young. Like, mm-hmm. I always look at, like, okay, let's see where they're at. No, like, for example, Abigail Parra, she's a sophomore, and she got second place in the women's 5K. And I'm just looking through these, and these girls are doing amazing. And yeah, we'll just see from right here.
I mean, I think it's really just a show to how good this Tech State, you know, coaching program is for track and field.
Sure.
You know, there's not a certain age limit to success on this team. You could be a freshman, you could be a senior. As long as you're getting into the program and what's being coached, that's what we have seen. You know, we talk about Tasia Bedell. She did great things as well. She plays first in the women's 200 meter with a time at 23.69, now eighth in the Sun Belt Conference in the event. And it's first time she's finished third in the 100 meters with a mark of 11.63. But yeah, Tasia Bedell, she's a sophomore. She's from Tomball. So, you know, there are players that don't have to have a certain age to them or a certain experience. They're just playing great. You know, you have to talk about the coaching staff as well. John Frazier doing great things for the throwing for Laura Roberts. He's been, you know, he was named 2005, you know, Western Conference track coach of the year, and he's just done great things. And I mean, I love this program. Trent Edgerton, he's also, we've got a great chance to talk with him before on previous sportscast, you know, great coach for the relays and the runners. So Dominic Yancey, you always talk about him. He's doing great things. All these players really are. And it sounds like just, you know, a broken record at this point. We cannot say something bad about this team. And it's just good that they get their roses. They get the recognition for what it is. A lot of these people are coming to this program because this used to be an Olympic program. Charles Austin himself, the Bobcat Invitational is named after him. The Charles Austin Classic named after him. So he's a great player and a role model for these Bobcats. So, you know, it just stayed in the blood here at Texas State. I guess the players are still just doing their best. And I would not be surprised to see more action from them in the NCAA tournament down the road.
So indeed, their next tournament, strangely enough, they're going to be going back to Austin, as actually the majority of everybody is going to be going up into Austin in Longhorn Country for the Texas Invitational, as they'll be heading up to Longhorn Country. I have been fortunate enough to be on that track and field before, and let me tell you, it is a lot of anticipation. Obviously, they had the Texas Relays just about a few weeks ago, so you know, I'm pretty sure everybody on the Bobcat team is definitely going to be looking forward to this one. But yes, their next invitational track meet will be on April 27th, this coming Saturday, up in Austin, Texas, in Longhorn Country for the Texas Invitational. But we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. And on the other side of it, we'll be digging into some Texas State baseball as they took on South Alabama in another Sunbelt Conference series. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Bobcat Radio on KTSW 89.9. Welcome back to this Monday edition of Bobcat Radio. Once again, I'm being joined by my producer, Justin Brown, and my co-host, Osmar Avias. This is your host, Kobe Jackson. And now we're going to get into the swing of things, no pun intended, as Texas State baseball was in action for another Sunbelt Conference series. This time, the South Alabama Jaguars were in town. And unfortunately, it did not go the Bobcats' way, as unfortunately, they suffered another Sunbelt Conference series loss as they won Friday's matchup and unfortunately took two tough losses on Saturday and Sunday. You know, I don't really know what to say at first. First off, the Friday game was absolutely great. The Bobcats were clicking on all cylinders, and then Saturday and Sunday's game was almost basically a spinning image of what's been really going on all weekend long. So, but before I'll throw it to y'all real quick. Actually, we're going to actually have a little bit of an interview from head coach Stephen Trout about the loss from Sunday's matchup. So here is Texas State Baseball's head coach Stephen Trout on the post-game show from yesterday's contest.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we're a day with a win. I thought Drink Brown threw the ball really well. If we turn a double play, their ball in the middle, we have a chance to get through that one. But, they got two balls through the wind, and we didn't get our balls through the wind at the end of the day. You got to have better approaches, got to keep the ball out of the air on days like today, and we just refused to do that. So eventually, they just took, one more pitches than we did, and so they come out on top.
I know there was a long conversation after the game. Just what was kind of the message to the team after this game?
Yeah, something's got to change. If not, we're not going to make the conference tournament. So it's just the truth. Guys got to start playing better. It's miserable to make the lineup right now. It's miserable to do certain things on the pitching side of it. And so we need some guys with some consistency that wants to step in and get something done. Yeah.
With the pitch staff, maybe now they only allowed just three runs, What were some things you were kind of happy with the pitch staff, and what are some other things that they still need to improve?
Yeah, I mean, they found the strike zone for the most part. I think only three walks. Two of the homers were solo homers, and they scored the one there in the third. And so I thought they did a pretty good job. I mean, you just got to keep pounding the strike zone and getting after it and doing a good job. So I thought we threw the ball actually better this weekend than we have over the first, three or four of conference, whatever it was. And so we just got to find a way to keep moving in the right direction.
Well, there you go. That just tells the story right there as the Bobcats suffered a difficult 3-1 loss on Sunday's contest. I mean, I know we've been talking about this baseball team, how up and down they have been all season. They're currently sitting 20-21 on those overall. They're sitting 11th in the Sun Belt Conference right now, basically on the edge of not making the Sun Belt Conference tournament, because the way the Sun Belt Conference tournament works is that only the first 10 teams can be allowed to be in. Once you're in the bottom four, you're kind of in, dire straits of trying to even make it. So, I mean, I want to throw it to y'all. Obviously, baseball has been having kind of a real struggle of a season. Obviously, they've been battling with injuries. And I do want to note that center fielder Ryan Farber is back in the Bobcat lineup, but he was only a designated hitter for this past weekend because Coach Stroud didn't want to risk anything. He's coming off of a groin injury that he injured a while back. So good to have him back in the lineup. But I want to throw it to y'all. What did y'all see from this Bobcat baseball team, and what do they need to do to improve their record?
Well, Kobe, I think this is exactly what Coach Trout was saying. He said this is just a it's miserable to make the lineup right now. It's a really hard time for this team to get the groove going, and I saw them do it Friday. Friday was a great start. 6-3 win over South Alabama, and it actually was a pretty close game. These two teams actually very much resemble each other with their hitting stats, the pitching stats, but the Bobcats, you talk about Ryan Farber, he comes back, and he came back in a big way. I don't know why his effect wasn't as big on Saturday and Sunday, but he did great things, multiple RBI. He had a beautiful 2 RBI double. He had multiple hits, a run himself. He's done great things for this team. And we saw great things from Cameron Weil as well, 2-for-3. He's been that guy that's been hot for us so far, the Bobcats. Mm-hmm. Cameron Weil actually led in the hitting statistics for a while, which was quite surprising. And no pun intended with his last name being Weil in a while. We saw great things. But it's just, truthfully, I feel we've talked about this before again and again. And it comes down to pitching as well. well. You know, this other team had some great players. Will Turner, he's a great hitter in this, you know, in the country right now. He's done great things. JG Bell, he was doing great things as well. So, you know, the Bobcats, I just felt that this series, it really was a must win for them. Now they got to play against Arkansas State. You're just trying to stay above 500. That's your goal on any team. If you want to try and become above average, get above 500. Get more wins than your losses. Right now the Bobcats are struggling to stay in that area, and it seems not the same as we've seen years before. Chase Moore also, you know, he's now an 8-hole hitter, which was something I thought was shocking. Mm-hmm. You know, he's hitting later in the lineup. We need to see that hitting performance come back up for the Bobcats if they expect to get in the SBC tournament. You're talking about the top 10 teams only make it. You know, this is not a time to play complacently. You know, you said that we heard Coach Trout say some loud words to his team after this loss Sunday. Mm-hmm. And for big reason, you know, Saturday it was a close game, a great pitching duel. And Sunday you really got to get on the board and they didn't. So, you know, I don't really know. I think Kobe, you may have seen some things this weekend as well. What did you think about the hitting performance, especially from Dalen Pena on Sunday? I mean, he went 0-for-4 at his at bat. You know, we need that consistency from the hitting for the Bobcats. And I feel like Dalen Pena was someone that was consistent. What do y'all think now?
I think to me, from my standpoint, Ryan Farber actually pretty much had a hitting exhibition this past weekend, even though with his return from injury. But Dalen Pena was surprisingly quiet this weekend. He only had two hits out of the weekend, which is not very likely of him. So, but I also want to note one thing is that Coach Trout did kind of somewhat make a change to the lineup because Aaron Lugo has been the leadoff man this weekend, which is surprising because he normally bats either in the fifth or sixth spot. But since he's been consistent, since he's part of leading the batting average for the season for the Bobcats this year, I kind of see why he did it. But, you know, like Trout said in the interview, he's had a hard time adjusting or making adjustments to the batting lineup, and they really just haven't found a consistent lineup. Like last year, his lineup was pretty much the same. Obviously with Jose Gonzalez, obviously Dalen Pena, August Ramirez, obviously Jose Gonzalez is no longer with the team no more. But, you know, his lineup has always been consistent. This year, it's almost just seemed like there's been just a full-on mix-up of who to put in what certain spots. Obviously, they're same positions, but, like, just who to put in the batting lineup. Because I know we've been talking about August Ramirez. He's been one of the returners from a couple of years. Rashawn Galloway, who normally sometimes bats in the DH spot a few times this season. But yeah, I don't know. It's one of these things where they just need to work on just trying to get the bats on the ball. But they do have another shot as they'll be taking on the Incarnate Word Cardinals this coming week. The Bobcats have already beaten the Cardinals down in San Antonio with the final score 10-8 as the Cardinals almost came back and won that one. However, we will be brought that game will be on ESPN Plus tomorrow at around 6:00 Central Time. But now we're going to swing it into some Texas State softball as they record their second Sun Belt Conference sweep this past weekend against the ULM Warhawks. And I know we have been beating a dead horse here, but this team has been clicking on all cylinders left and right. Mm-hmm. I mean, what more can I say? I mean, this softball team has been absolutely phenomenal. They're 37-12 on the year. They're currently second in the Sun Belt Conference right now. And they record a Sun Belt Conference sweep against the ULM Warhawks down in Monroe, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. So I guess you could say after that little blemish that they had in against Louisiana here in San Marcos, and then just a dominating victory against the UTSA Roadrunners last week, and then obliterating, you know, ULM during the Sun Belt Conference series weekend. Honestly, it just seems like they have a great bounce back, because normally when you take a loss in baseball and softball, sometimes you don't recover it, and sometimes you don't recover and sometimes you do. Bobcats have done that in multiple scenarios. So, but I mean, just think, they don't have another midweek game this week. So they get to have a nice long little breath of fresh air a little bit before they head down to Hattiesburg, Mississippi for another series against Southern Miss. But I want to throw it to y'all, because I know we've been running out of adjectives to say about this ball club, and they're just inching closer to the Sun Belt Conference championship tournament. So What did y'all see from the softball team this season, and what's the mindset right now after coming with two Sun Belt Conference series left?
Well, I feel like I'm having deja vu, Kobe. You know, I feel like I've seen this before. I've seen this team, you know, perform at a national level. Texas State softball, for anybody that's been under a rock, let me tell you something. They're ranked 16th in the nation. 16th, and yep. Right next to them is Louisiana at 17th. And I got to give credit to two Sun Belt teams. You know, the Bobcats, part of the Sun Belt, got to give credit to where it's due to Louisiana Raging Cajuns, another Sun Belt team ranked nationally. And, you know, right now, yes, they get a big series win over ULM. You know, ULM really was taking a beating from the Bobcats this series. I've saw multiple home runs from Sarah Vanderford, other players in the same inning, and it just really came tough for ULM. But yes, this Texas State softball team, you ask me, Kobe, what do I think of their season? Well, I'm telling you now, I think it's well above average, even more above average than last year. Look at how they handle adversity. You take out Sierra Trahan, one of your best hitters in your entire team program for the last 2 years, and you still stay, you know, dominant. How do you do that? I don't know. This team must know. Ricky Woodard, she's won a game 800 times in her career, so I think she got this in the bag. And now, you know, I'm really excited about this SBC tournament, Kobe. I literally get butterflies in my stomach talking about this. I have to say something. The matchup again of Louisiana and Texas State, they are going to meet up again in the SBC tournament. And I cannot tell you, that is going to be probably the most competitive game that the Texas State softball park has ever seen in the last 10 years. Because I'm telling you, Jessica Mullins took it personally, that last series loss to Louisiana. You have to think about it. Sam Landry, the pitcher on the circle, went to the same high school as Jessica Mullins, and they went to Barbers Hill High School together, and she gets the last laugh. No, Jessica Mullins is going to come back, and I am super excited to see it. And it's not just a one-person game. You got to give credit to where it's due to everyone else. Hannah Earl's doing great things. Sarah Vanderford, Piper Randolph. It seems like the Avengers this year. They are ready to take that NCAA tournament right from anybody that takes it from them, like A&M last year. So I'm so excited, Kobe. I could run through a brick wall right now thinking about this team. I'm just so excited. I really don't know how to put adjectives on it. You told me I ran out. Well, you know, I need to get one of those. What are those books that you fill in the words?
Is the source?
No, Mad Libs. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know, the source. Yeah, I don't think there's enough words in the dictionary to describe this team. Just superb. And I'm not being any way, shape, you know, biased. This is a great Sun Belt team. Yeah, same credit to Louisiana. I mean, they have some of the best hitters I've ever seen. I believe it's Alexa Valdez. She does great things as well on that team. She has a low hitting stance, and she can hit that thing way out of the park. So I'm just so excited for softball this year, especially. Our female sports have just been great this year. Texas State tennis doing great things for the first time in over 10 years. They've got over, you know, 10 wins and over 4 conference wins this season. Got to give credit to them. Golf winning the championship, and then softball on course to do the same. I'm super excited, Kobe, for this team.
Oh, for sure. And there's only, and I'm looking at through the schedule right now, there's only 6 more games to SBC conferences, or sorry, 2 SBC series.
There you go.
So it's pretty exciting. And they come back home May 2nd. So I believe it's next Thursday, I believe, correct?
Next
Thursday. And then from there on out, it's just all home field advantage for the SBC conference title. So
absolutely.
So exciting.
You know, the thing, just looking at the standings right now, Louisiana, Texas State, South Alabama, Troy, and JMU round out the top 5. And like I talked about with baseball, and for softball, you have to be at least in the top 10 in order to make it to the Sun Belt Conference tournament. And just looking at just how many teams left that they have to play, Southern Miss is strictly at number 10. So there's a lot of scenarios that could work here, because because the Texas State Bobcats play Southern Miss next. If Texas State somehow sweeps Southern Miss, which is going to be tough because Southern Miss is sitting at number 10 and they're going to be playing for their, you know, for their tournament lives. And if Southern Miss loses at least 2 and Marshall wins at least 3, then Marshall will move up to the 10th spot and Southern Miss will drop to 11th. So there's a lot of implications that are going to be made during this final stretch of the softball season. But, you know, obviously, we've been talking about Louisiana and Texas State, that they'll probably meet up. I know that's saying something, but, you know, because the past 2 years that these two have met, it's gone Louisiana's way. And during the Sun Belt Conference championship. So Louisiana, obviously, we know back-to-back Sun Belt Conference champions, of one in 2021 and then one in 2022 and then 2023 last year. So there's definitely some bad blood between these two. And honestly, we're getting so close, you can just taste it. It's going to be fun to see. But like we just talked about, the Bobcats going down to Hattiesburg, Mississippi this weekend against the Southern Miss Golden Eagles down in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. You can catch all of those games on ESPN Plus. And then the Bobcats will return on May 2nd against the Marshall Thundering Herd for the Sun Belt Conference Series finale. Now, since we got a little bit of time, we're going to do a little bit of the NBA playoffs as the first round, as game one, all of game ones have officially been tallied. And we are on to now game twos and for today. And we're going to look at today's matchup. We'll start off in the East. We'll do it's the Orlando Magic taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers. Game two tonight will be on NBA TV. And then the Philadelphia 76ers and the New York Knicks will be on TNT. That game will be at 6:30. And then only one West Coast game today, and it's the Los Angeles Lakers taking on the Denver Nuggets tonight as well. So I want to ask y'all, Cleveland won game one, New York Knicks won game one, and the Denver Nuggets won game one. Who will win game two tonight?
Well, you know, Kobe, this is the first time in over 11 years that all home teams won game one in the playoffs of the first round. So it's really interesting to see the home court advantage. And I'm going to tell you all my picks here. Lakers Nuggets. You know, I think the Nuggets play about a mile high in the air because the altitude there, and they say that it gets hard to get used to. So I think Lakers are dropping game two. I don't think they're going to win it. I think Denver's going to get a 2-0 lead. Magic and Cavs. I think the Magic's average age is probably 18. They're so young. So I think the Cavaliers have some more experience and they have bigger bigs. I'm going to give Cavaliers game two their 2-0 lead for them. 76ers and Knicks. I don't know if you watched that game, Kobe. Madison Square Garden was so passionate, so sure loud was for that team. There's no way you're beating that crowd and you're not beating Josh Hart's. Lead the entire NBA in minutes per game. And he did great things in that fourth quarter. Me and you both saw it. So I think Knicks are going to get a 2-0 lead over the 76ers. Suns and Timberwolves. I know I sound like a broken record, but the home teams are winning it all. The Timberwolves. Oh, we're not even talking about the Timberwolves. Oops, let me not talk about that. But maybe I'm just a little excited. Got to mention Anthony Edwards. He is just showing himself why he could be considered one of the greats. But yes, those are my picks. Asmar, you have any picks? Are you staying completely neutral for these games?
I'm staying completely neutral.
Fair enough.
That is it.
So for me, I'm going to go with Cleveland to beat Orlando in game two. I'm going to go Philly to beat New York. I mean, I know I have a weird feeling that series is just from game one. I have a feeling it's going to either go to six or seven just because both Philadelphia and New York are passionate with their sports. I know people say specifically like football and baseball, but basketball is kind of finally coming around a little bit. So I'm going to go with the Sixers to tie it up at one apiece. And then for the Lakers and Denver, I'm sorry, I can't go with LeBron. No disrespect to the King, but I got to go with Denver. I mean, they've just been a solid powerhouse really all season, and you know they're on track to possibly repeat for the NBA title. So I'm gonna go with Denver to win Game Two and head back to LA. But that's all the time we have for today's edition of Bobcat Radio. But before we get out of here, let's go to our meteorologist Justin Brown for the weather.
Thank you very much, Kobe. So looking at today, no rain in the sky, high of 73, a low of 55. And guess what? That wind is gone. It's only 10 miles per hour today. It wasn't like 27 miles per hour yesterday. And tomorrow, weather's just as good. High of 78, low of 65, a little crisp, no rain as well. And Wednesday, 24% chance of showers, and that's going to increase throughout the week. You got a high of 86 on Wednesday, so it seems like a perfect day to go to Sewell. But Thursday, AM showers. Might want to bring an umbrella if you're going to an 8 a.m. or, you know, a final exam on one of those days. Be prepared. 19 miles per hour wind as well. So yeah, that's the forecast, Kobe. Not a pretty dry week. It seems pretty good.
Pretty good week, I would say, for the last week of classes before we hit the semester exams. Well, that's all the time we have for this edition of Bobcat Radio. If you like this episode, please sure to follow us at KTSW Sports on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, wherever you find KTSW Sports as well. For my producer, Justin Brown, and for my co-host, Osmar Avias, I'm your host, Kobe Jackson. Thank you guys for tuning into this Monday edition of Bobcat Radio. Have a great day, everybody. Be safe out there. Study hard. Now let's get you back to the other side of radio.